2 Kings, 5th chapter, starting at verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, He will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Paphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again for this marvelous account in your word that you've given us. Thank you for the wonderful truths that's there. And Father, this morning as we preach, we ask you to empower us, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit, to use us this day and help us to preach thy word. And Father, we pray that the response will be to the word of God. If folk are not saved, that they'll be saved this morning. And Father, if we as Christians see lacking in our Christian life, that Lord, we'll respond to that and let you help us to yield our whole life unto thee. Now, Father, this thing is in your hands, the preaching of the word of God, the service, the invitation. We ask, Lord, you use it to thy glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to bring a message from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, but I also want you to take and turn in your Bibles over to the New Testament for just a few moments, the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'd like to read to you here also an account in God's Word. In chapter 25, book of Matthew, it says, verse 1, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came unto the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is, again, a very familiar portion of Scripture, and God's Word gives us the story of the 10 virgins. And five of them was wise, and five of them was foolish. Five of them was ready, and five of them were not ready. Now, we realize that this has much meaning as far as Israel is concerned, but we also, without hurting the Scripture, without harming the Scriptures, can look from this as someone who is saved and someone who is not saved when Jesus comes in the rapture or comes to get him. So we just want to take this morning and use these two portions of Scripture to look at some things that I believe would be helpful for us. First of all, in the story of Naaman, we find a story about the great affliction of sin. We find that Naaman, the Bible says, was a leper. I think you're all familiar, if you're Bible students whatsoever, you understand that in the Scriptures, God uses the leprosy as a type of sin. And sin is portrayed there as that horrible, terrible, wicked disease, and it is a horrible thing, eating away at the extremities of the body, and it's a horrible thing. And it shows, though, God uses that as a picture of sin. Sin is also a horrible thing. Sin is very inviting. Sin is very deadly. It lures men into deceptive traps. I mean, it knows what it is doing, you see. And the ultimate end of sin is eternal destruction forever and ever. So we find that sin not only destroys the soul, but it destroys the body. Remember that as you live through life. Sin will destroy your body. Sin will wreak havoc of your body, you see. You must understand it, but it'll also destroy your soul if you don't get it forgiven and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. There's many tragedies in this world, and we see them all the time. Sometimes I get tired of seeing tragedies. I don't know whether you do or not, but I get tired of seeing tragedies. Everywhere you look in this world, there's terrible tragedies going on. We had an earthquake here a while back out in California. What a tragedy. I think it was 56, as I remember, that was killed in that earthquake. And multitudes lost their homes, all kinds of damage done. I mean, just terrible tragedies. Plane crashes, there's wars, there's fires, there's all kinds of things, natural disasters, floods, all kinds of things around us. There's people who are caught on drugs. There is young children who are being brought up without anybody loving them or caring for them. As I said, sometimes I get tired of seeing tragedies. But let me say something to you. There is no tragedy in all of the world like missing heaven. We can say all about these other tragedies, and they are terrible, and there's no doubt about it, they are. And we get a little tired of seeing them. It just breaks your heart. But there's no tragedy like the tragedy of missing heaven. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to stand before the Lord and be cast into the lake of fire because you did not come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? You see, these tragedies on this earth have an end somewhere. That tragedy will never have an end. It'll go on and go on forever and forever. And yet I find that there is many people today who have somewhat of a false hope about eternity. And so we want to discuss the subject this morning about false hope, false profession, and some other false things that we will look at this morning. Now let me say, before I do this, I want you to understand this preacher in no way is trying to discourage you. This preacher is no way trying to say to you that you have false hope. All I'm saying is just be sure you have the blessed hope, the true hope. The hope that comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with you concerning that, you'll know that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with you that you are a child of God. You may not be the best child of God that ever lived, but you are God's child. You see, you'll know that as God's Spirit bears witness with our hearts that we are the child a child of God. So I don't want you to walk away from here this morning with any false security, with false hope in your heart, some false profession that you might have given. Let's just look at the Scriptures, and let's just learn from these two portions of Scripture this morning and see what God has to say. First of all, I want to look at the false profession. And I'm going to turn over to Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew, the first three verses. And you want to keep both of these portions of Scripture in your Bible marked. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." I'm simply saying this morning, we're going to look at this portion of Scripture and look at it as those that are wise are those who know Christ are ready. Those who are not wise, those who are foolish, are those who are unsaved. And if you notice, there was 5 of them who were, they thought they was all right, and there was 5 of them that was wise, and they did know they was all right, but it was also 5 of them that thought they was all right. They had a false profession, you see. Well, if you go back to the book of 2 Kings, you find that Naaman also in this story was trying to find salvation or find help or find healing of his leprosy. And that's a picture, of course, of sin, and it's a picture then of salvation. He was trying to find that from the wrong person. If you will notice in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, verse 5 and 6, "And the king of Syria..." Well, let's go up to verse 1, 4. "And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Somebody came in and told Naaman about the young maiden and what she had said. And then we find, evidently, in verse number 5, Naaman had went to the king here of Syria. And he says, "The king of Syria said, go. And he's talking to Naaman. "Go," he says, "and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." We find that Naaman here, first of all, went to his own king, and then he went to the king of Israel. And he was looking for the wrong person for what he needed. You see, the maid had said, "I wish that he was with the prophet which is in Israel." He didn't say the king. He didn't say the king of Syria. He didn't say the king of Israel. He said the prophet that was in Israel. And I have a feeling that probably more than likely was beneath the dignity of Naaman. As we look a little later, we find he was a very proud man. Believed beneath his dignity to go here to a prophet in Israel. Instead, he went to his king and then to the king of Israel. Now, what I'm saying simply is this. You've got a false profession if you've not went to Jesus. Jesus is the only one can save you. It is not church membership. It is not baptism. It is not good works. It is not Mohammed. It is not any of those. It is not Buddha. It is none of those things. Jesus is the only one who can save you. And if you go to anybody else for salvation, you're going to have a false profession because it won't be real. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's just plain, simple Scripture. And you can't get around that. You can't get to God any other way except through Jesus. Do you understand that? Now, I'm just saying that because I want you to know something. If you're trusting in anything else, you're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in church membership, you're trusting anything else besides Jesus, you've got a false profession. Because Jesus is the only one who can save you. Jesus is the only one that can ever save anybody. He's the eternal Son of God who died upon the cross for your sins. And through Him you have eternal life. I think you probably understand that. Now, according to these scriptures, and I take for granted that these maidens, these virgins, was dressed much alike. Seeming they looked alike. There's also a problem with a false dress. In other words, what I'm simply saying to you is you can enter into a group and look just like the other group. You can get into a church situation and sit in a pew or in a church organization of any kind and function of any kind. You can just join in and you look like everybody else, but that's not what determines salvation. See, it's down here. This is what determines salvation. I say it so many times, I sometimes don't say it out loud, but someone will begin to tell me about something and their problems and their troubles and what they need and all what they think they need and all this, and my thought comes back and says, their problem is a problem of the heart. They need Jesus. And you see, the thing is, you may look like on the outside all kinds of things, but if you have not Jesus on the inside, you've got a false dress on. You've got a false garment on. Understand? Because you see, only the garment of His righteousness will allow us to get into heaven, you see. You know, Judas was one of those. If you read the story of Judas, it's a very interesting story. It's a very interesting study. I've not done a depth study on Judas, but it's interesting when you see him, because Judas spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that the disciples did not wonder and think about the fact that he may be the betrayer. He was even entrusted with the carrying the money. He was the treasurer of the group, and that took trust to be able to do that. And not only that, when they sat around the Lord's Supper there that last night, the Passover Supper, we find that when Jesus says, one of them will betray me, they all looked around and said, is it I? They did not say, it's Judas. But Judas had on the right dress. In other words, when I say that, I'm talking about the right actions, he looked like he was a disciple of Christ, and that's where his faith was, and all of these things. But he was a betrayer of the Son of God. Now, what I'm simply saying to you is, don't have a false dress on. Don't have just the facade of Christianity on, and not the heart being born into the family of God. Amen? You've got to be very careful about that. There's people throughout the Word of God that had that same problem. The rich young ruler, if you remember, as he come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life. And of course, the Lord spoke to him about the commandments, and he said, I've not committed adultery, I've not killed, I've not stole, I've not brought false witness, I've not defrauded, I've always honored my mother and my father. He said, I've done these things. And he said, well, one thing you lack, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And it was not the matter of him giving to the poor what he had. It was a matter that was more important to him than eternal life. And I'm simply saying unto you, you see, people can look good on the outside. The rich young ruler, I am sure, if he had been talked about in our day, we would have looked around and said, you know that guy that lives over there? I'm telling you what, he is a nice guy. I mean, he lives an upright life, he treats everybody nice, he does good, he does all of these things, and that would have been what we would probably have said about this rich young ruler. And it's true also in Christianity today. There's people who are putting on the facade of Christianity, but they've never come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never been born into the family of God. Listen to me, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just simply saying to you, you ought to have a real profession, amen? You ought to have the right kind of dress, the robe of righteousness on, and not your own filthy rag robe on that looks good to man and not to God. We find the same thing coming from a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who was a Pharisee. The Bible even says he was a leader of the Jews. In other words, if you'd asked folk about Nicodemus, I'm sure you'd have got the answer, Nicodemus is a wonderful man. Nicodemus is our leader. He has been a true man down through the years. He has led us right. He has done a good job. And he tries to live that good life, the Pharisaical life. He tries to live all of that. You see, but when Jesus came in touch with Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. See, that's what Jesus said to him. He recognized immediately all that Nicodemus had was that outward facade. It was not that inside being born again into God's family, you see. And so what I'm simply saying is, have the right thing on. Be sure you have put on Jesus. Be sure that you have Christ in your heart. Well, we find also that Naaman was a man who followed the instructions of men. You see, the king said, you go do this. And he went to this king, and he went to that king, and he was following the instructions of men. Let me just say something to you. Don't follow the instructions of men unless they are giving you instructions from the Bible. Men, you've got to get into your Bible. You've got to say, what does God say about being born again? Well, Jesus says you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of God. Amen? Jesus says that, you see. And we've got to follow the instructions of the Word of God, not the instructions of men. Some men would tell you to just do the best you can and live a good life and everything's going to be fine. That's basically what I was told as a young man. Just be good, Bobby. Just do good, live a good life, don't do this, don't do that, try to live a good life and everything's going to be all right. Well, that was a lie. That was a devil's lie. It was not all right. I was a lost sinner and didn't even realize it. You see, what I'm simply saying to you is, don't follow the instructions of man unless they give you instructions from the Word of God. True instructions from God's Word. See, what a tragedy it would be to have on the false dress. Not only that, we find in the Scriptures, we find in Matthew, the 25th chapter of Matthew, we find the false security. If you'll notice, in verse 5 it says, "And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." We find that all of the virgins here were slumbering and sleeping. I think a good message probably we could preach on that was, we Christians sleep right alongside of the unsaved. But anyway, I'm not preaching that this morning, but I think it'd be a good message. And we have to be careful, because sometimes we do get in false security. I'm not talking about salvation, but we just think everything's going to be all right, and we're sleeping during the time when we ought to be awake winning people to Christ. But regardless of that, we find that these slept. They had no concern for their soul. It's kind of like that man, that rich man in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, who wanted to tear down his barns, you remember, and build greater barns. He said, "Boy, just eat, drink, and be merry. I'm looking forward to a great life." You know, he was just looking. He was just had a security that everything was going to be all right, and he had a lot of time left. And God comes along and says, "But tonight," he said, "thou fool, tonight your soul is required of thee." Said, "Tonight I'm going to take you." You understand that? You see, that's false security, to think that you're going to be able to live till tomorrow. You see, you may do that, but I've known a lot of folk who didn't. Amen? You see, you may live till tomorrow, and you may live next week, and you may live 10 years from now. I don't know that. That's in God's hands. But I also know it may be you will not. False security, you see, that everything is all right. That's what the rich man in hell did, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that or go back to the Scripture, but that's basically what he was doing. He was just living his life in a luxurious manner, going along in life, and all at once, God just killed him. There's no sense in the Scripture that gives us that he was sick. It just says God killed him, God took him, he died and opened up his eyes in hell. You see, he had false security that everything was all right. Life was going good for him. I mean, he had just about anything he needed and plus, and yet he had that security, everything was all right, and yet the Bible says he died just like that. What I'm saying is, there's people here in the Scripture just like these five virgins. They had false security. They was just going on with life, sleeping away, thinking that everything was all right. I'm concerned today that there's many multitudes today that have a false security. They're just putting things off. I don't know sometimes how to get through to them that they may die in the next minute or 5 minutes. You see, that you can't trust in these things of life. You've got to have Jesus. You've got to know Him as personal Savior so you can go to heaven, you see. God wants you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. The church cries out, "Please come so you can go to heaven." That's why we're having this meeting this morning. Please, please get ready to meet Jesus. Amen? You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. So what a tragedy it would be to have false security, thinking everything is all right. Man said to me the other day, he said, "Well, what if you get a hold of some false information?" He said, "Don't you think God will forgive you for that?" And what he was saying was this: maybe you don't get the right information about the Bible, you see. And maybe you got a hold of some false information, and maybe there's somebody that was leading you astray. He said, "Don't you think God will forgive you?" I said, "The only way God will forgive you is through Jesus." See, you're not to be deceived by false information. You're to receive Christ as your personal Savior. You don't want to have false security, you see. You want to know Jesus as your Savior. Also, we find in this portion of Scripture, in the book of Matthew, we find a false expectation. If you look at verse number 6 and verse number 7, it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." I mean, they all got up looking, and they was ready. They said, "Boy, the bridegroom is coming. We're ready." They was expecting to be taken. I want to show you a portion of Scripture in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, please, of Matthew. This portion of Scripture is an awesome portion of Scripture. says in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What an awesome portion of Scripture. God said they'll cry out and say, "I done wonderful things in thy name. I prophesied in thy name." And Jesus says unto them, "I never knew you." He did not say, "I knew you once and you slipped out of my hands." He never said that. He said, "I never knew you." We talked about on Wednesday night in our message on the book of Romans, we talked about you can't slip out of the hands of something in which you are part of the hand. When you become a Christian, you become part of the body of Christ. What are you going to be? Some slimy object that slips through his fingers? You don't slip through the fingers of Jesus. You are part of his fingers. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, you must be sure you know you're part of the body. You must be born into God's family, you see. And that's what he was saying to them. "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What an awful thing to have said to an individual. Depart from me. Jesus will say that to those in that day. Depart from me. I never knew you. What a horrible tragedy that is. I'm simply saying to you folks, you do not want to have false expectation. You're sitting around expecting to go home to be with the Lord, but you know you've never been born again. You've tried to get there by your own works. Now listen to me. If you're saved and you know Christ, expect it. Look forward to it. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus is coming again. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You thank God for it. You rejoice in the fact and you expect Him to come. You look forward to it. And that shout's going to come one of these days. And we're going to be taken up to meet Him in the air. What a glorious, wonderful thing, you see. But make sure your faith is in Christ. That you've been born into God's family. Over also in the book of 2 Kings, you'll find out Naaman here. We find him bringing to the king here, bringing all kinds of talents of silver, 10 talents of silver, and he said 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. We find here that he had tried to purchase his salvation. That's what the picture there is presenting. He was trying to bring things from himself so that he could purchase this here healing of leprosy. And many people today are trying to do their best to purchase salvation. My goodness, you can't purchase it. The only thing, it is bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And that's the only thing can buy salvation, and you can't buy it. Jesus has already bought it for you. All you can do is receive it. Say, "I want that gift, Jesus, that you've already purchased for me." You can't do anything for it. Let's dismiss that now. You're sitting there, you're saying, "I can't live the Christian life. If I get saved, I'll mess up. If I get saved, I'll be a week from now, I'll be a mess and won't be able to do what I'm supposed to do." God didn't say that's the way you get saved. God says the way you get saved is confess the fact that you're an old rotten sinner and you need to be saved. And Jesus is the only one can save you, and you call upon Him to save you and give you eternal life, and then He'll begin to work on your life and help you grow as a Christian. I'm simply saying, don't sit around with false expectation thinking that maybe you'll get to go. Folks, if you don't know Christ, there's no maybe to it. You won't go. Understand that? Not trying to be harsh, not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to wake you up. You understand? If you know not Christ, you cannot go to heaven. If you've not received Him, you've not been born again, you cannot go to heaven. But with Christ, you can, you see. And God will save you and cleanse you and give you eternal life, you see. And you can go to heaven if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Then again, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 8th verse, let's look at the false trust. In verse number 8, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." If you will notice there, they come asking the other five virgins, and they said, "Why don't you give us some of your oil? You have some. Why don't you give it to us?" Let me say something to you about mother's salvation, or daddy's salvation, or grandma or grandpa's salvation, or some person you know real well's salvation. That won't get you to heaven. How many times have I heard, oh, my mother was a great Christian. I'm sure she was, and I'm thankful she was, but that won't get you to heaven. It might help point the way for you. But my daddy, you see, my daddy was a preacher, or my grandfather was a preacher, you see, and oh my, what a preacher, they were so faithful. Yeah, but that won't get you to heaven. That might help point the way for you, but that won't get you to heaven. You've got to come to a decision yourself to receive Jesus. Christ as your personal Savior. Don't trust in somebody else's salvation. That's not the way it works. In fact, here just a while back, I was sitting talking to a couple, and the man said, yeah, he thought he was saved, and she looked over to him, kind of touched his hand, and she laughed, but she said, can I get in on your ticket? And I assured her she couldn't. Amen. You don't get in on somebody else's ticket. Amen. We all get in through Jesus Christ and Him alone, period. You see, that's it. Jesus, the Son of God, died for your sins. If you will receive Him as personal Savior, He'll save you and give you everlasting life. You see, over in 2 Kings, let me go back over there and let's look at Naaman in verse number 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. If you'll notice, Naaman come to the house of Elisha, and Elisha didn't even go outside to greet him. He just sent a messenger out to him, said, you go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be clean. Now, if you notice, he said, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He went on to say, these rivers here in Damascus, Abana and Parfar, aren't they as good as the river Jordan? Aren't they as good as the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. It made him mad. Let me say to you that Naaman had a false trust in something else other than what he ought to have trust in. Now there's folks today that wants to try to change the way of salvation. They want to say, well, I know Jesus says this, go be washed in His precious blood, but what's the matter with me being just a good Joe and trying to treat everybody all right and being a church member? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll join 15 churches. That ought to do it, shouldn't it? No, you still got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You see, God's not going to change His way of salvation for you, for me, or for anybody else. Understand? He has one way, and that way is Christ. Understand? That's the way of salvation. We old sinners here, lost, hopeless sinners, need Jesus. And that's it. You see, you can't come any other way. You say, I know, I'll try to do good works and I'll try to clean my life up and one of these days then maybe I'll be worthy. No, 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 no. You won't ever be worthy. And you ain't going to do you any good to try to clean your life up. You can't clean your life up. How about all that sin you've already committed? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't live a perfect life anyway, can you? But Jesus can forgive you and cleanse you and give you eternal life. You see, you can't go and try to buy salvation or to get healed some other way except through Christ, you see. And that's what Naaman did. You know of the story of Felix. Felix thought that he would have a more convenient day, so he was trusting in the fact that there would be a more convenient day. One of these days he'd get saved. No account in the Scriptures that Felix ever come to know Christ as his Savior. No account. I'm saying to you, you can say to me, well, I think I'll wait till next week, or I think I'll wait till tonight, or next week, or next month. Folks, there's no assurance that you're going to come to Jesus tonight, or next week, or next month. You may be dead. And even if you wasn't dead, there's no assurance that you're going to come to Christ. What I'm saying to you is, you need to come to Jesus now. Right now, you need to come to Him and have the true trust in the right place, the Son of God, for your salvation. What a tragedy it is to have a false trust. Over in Matthew 25, verse number 10, there was a false sense of time. If you look at verse number 10, he says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Just want to share something with you. You think you're waiting for the proper time to get saved. What you don't understand, the Bible teaches that in the twinkling of an eye, the rapture is going to happen. It's quicker than that. One man says it's like the, instead of the twinkling of an eye, it's the twink of an eye. I read the other day where it literally means, that word means to bring something down to where it absolutely cannot be divided anymore. It is going to happen that quick. Quicker than I snap my fingers, it's the twink of an eye. Jesus is going to come and take us home to be with Him, and if you're not saved, you'll be left. You see, they thought they could go out and get everything ready, get that oil and get it back in time, but the bridegroom came while they was gone. You see, that's what's going to happen one of these days to a lot of folk who keep putting off salvation. Jesus is going to come, and it's going to be too late. See, you need to get saved. You need to do it now. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the time. Right now. Right now it's time to get saved. You see, if I was lost, knew I was lost, I wouldn't even wait till this preacher got done preaching. I'd come down and I'd get saved and ask Christ to save me. I'd come to an altar. I wouldn't even wait. See, now's the day of salvation. Now is the time, you see. What a tragedy it would be to wait too late. Not only that, in Matthew 25, the tragedy of not being recognized by the Lord. In Matthew 25, let me read verse 10 through 12. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, 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 I say unto you, I know you not. I thought, what a tragedy it is not even be recognized as one of the children of God by the Lord. What a tragedy that would be to not be recognized. I want to take you back over to the book of 2 Kings, and I want to show you what Naaman did. All right? Naaman turned out to be a pretty smart fella. We find in verse number 12, he says, Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. We find him going away mad, aggravated. But listen, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophets had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he has said to thee, Wash and be clean? And then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, Naaman was pretty wise. We had some wise servants that came to him and said to him and pointed out the fact, You know what, Naaman? If they'd have told you out here to go and fight some gladiator, if they'd have told you to go out here and run 10 mile, and you would have done it. You'd have done it. If they told you you'd be clean, you'd have done that. I say to you as a servant of God, I'm trying to beseech you and I'm trying to say to you, listen to me. If you, this morning, if I would have said to you, if you'll come and bring $5 and lay it on this altar, you can be saved, would you not be willing to do that? If I would say to you that all you have to do is go home today and just be good and try not to tell a lie all day and you'd be saved, if I said that to you, would you not try to do that? But I've got something much, much better than that. I've got something much easier than all of that. God just says all you have to do is come and receive my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. Put your faith and trust in Him and I'll give you eternal life. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. You just come and receive it. You can't get any better than that. And he said to Naaman, he said, Now if you'd been asked to do something great, you'd have done it. Why don't you just go wash? I say as a servant of God, why don't you just come and be saved? Why don't you just come and be washed in the blood of Jesus? He loves you. That's what it takes to get to heaven. Amen? You see, what a tragedy it would be. What a tragedy it would be if you just pass up salvation because God has so made all of this thing, ordered all these things and made them right so you can just simply come and ask for salvation with a repentant heart and be saved, be born into God's family. What a wonderful thing that is. I beseech you this morning, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do is come and be saved? See, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You say, well, I'll put it off till next week. No. Don't you do that. You accept Christ today. You get it right today. Don't let one more day go by. You may not live till tomorrow. You understand? You need Jesus. You need to be saved. Don't be like those five foolish virgins who waited until it was too late. No. You come now. Jesus could come today, you see. You might die today. Jesus could come today in the rapture. I'm saying to you, today is the day of salvation. I beg of you, please, please, please receive Christ as your personal Savior today so that you could be saved, born into God's family. Go from this place this morning knowing you're ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.